Hello and welcome everybody to Why Should Your Team Win? I'm really excited because this is a mashup episode, kind of a hybrid, straying from the format. I'd like to introduce my two guests. I have returning Mr. David Sparks from Chicago. Let's give it up for David.
How's it going?
And I got a new guest. It's Mr. Cody Stark from North Dakota. Give it up for my guests, everybody.
Good to see you.
Okay. I think we're all still here. Hopefully there's no more technical difficulties. David, can you give me a what?
What? Can you hear me all right?
Okay, well, yeah. I'm going to get to you in a second, David. But Cody, I want to get to you first. Cody, tell me, how did you get to be a Red Wings fan and why?
Well, like you said, I'm from North Dakota. When I was a kid, the North Stars were gone. Winnipeg Jets left in 96. I was about 6, 7 years old at that time. That's kind of the age you start attaching yourself to a team. I was a big Paul Kariya fan of the Mighty Ducks, but I didn't really care for the Mighty Ducks. And then when Steve Yzerman went bar down on John Casey in the 1996 conference semifinals, I was watching that game. My parents let me stay up and watch the double overtime and fell in love with Yzerman at that moment. And it was perfect timing for me to get to see two back-to-back cups the next 2 years. So it was kind of hard to stray away from that. And then seeing them win in 2002 as well with that heavily loaded Hall of Fame team. And then again, my senior year of high school, that was the last time they won in 2008. So I got four Stanley Cups between ages 8 and 18 years old. So it's kind of hard to stray away from them. So
yeah, very lucky or very awesome as well. Yeah. Normally I give lots of questions and I want to hear long drawn out answers, but I'm going to do like a rapid fire. So just tell me, who is your favorite Red Wing?
Steve Yzerman.
Me too? Okay. Oh, you want me to say two or? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear yours again.
I already told you, right. Pavel Datsyuk, probably.
Yeah.
It's the long, yeah.
Sweet. Wish well, yeah, Stevie Y, pretty awesome player. Yeah. And then let me hop over David. Last time we spoke,
yes,
a lot has changed because summertime.
We talked the day before the draft, like the draft is that evening.
Yeah, I was like, maybe you guys will make the playoffs. But I think Red Wings have been one of my top teams that have surprised me this beginning of this quarter of the season. But they also did a lot of moving and shaking over the summer. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the draft was great. I mean, free agency was insane. Like that first day, I kept thinking of everything in terms of having just talked to you and like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Like I have to update everything because this is, I didn't expect free agency to be that good. Right. Although I probably should have, because Steve Yzerman is like a perfect individual. So, you know, that being my guide, right. Mm-hmm. They just picked up so much, you know, so much veteran talent.
Yeah.
And just sort of. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, well, my big word, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Perron, and then on the back end,
right.
If he's not on your team, I mean. Right. But then Husso, he's on a tear. Oh, you guys are on a 4-game win streak right now. He's 9-2, I think.
He's got like his save percentage is like 916 or something, I think.
Yeah, it's close to like 916. And if you take out that 8-goal shellacking with, I think was it the Rangers?
And Buffalo too.
Buffalo.
Nedeljkovic started that right. But
yeah, if you take that one out, he's like 94 or something like that on the season, mm-hmm. which is like Vezina talks numbers, you know?
And that Rangers blowout was so strange. Like, I mean, it was just like another one of their weird meltdowns. So
yeah,
that was just, he was just hung out to dry several times in the last 2 minutes. Right. So Yeah.
Well, Cody, has any other players stood out for you so far this season?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think the most underrated signing, maybe the entire NHL, is Dominik Kubalík, especially for only I think it's a $2.5 million cap hit. So, and you know, we got to keep reminding ourselves we're only 20 games into the season here, and the Red Wings did just get over probably the easier part of their schedule. I mean, congrats to them for getting all 8 points in those last four games. That was important because they do have a pretty tough December coming up. So I think, you know how they say wherever, I think Ken Holland used to say this too, wherever you're sitting at Thanksgiving is a good testament of where you're going to be at the end of the year. And I did see a stat on Twitter too. I think 77% of teams in the playoffs on Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving weekend, make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I think a better testament would be maybe around the new year to see where they're at. If they can get through December, they're not going to win them all, that's for sure. But to see how they do. And, you know, managing those blowouts, if we can just eliminate those, because that's what the whole season was like for the Red Wings last year.
Yeah.
Because remember, the Red Wings had a fairly decent start to the season last year as well.
Yeah.
Even with a roster that was not as good as this one. And they got past the new year and they were close to a wild card spot, I believe. And then all of those shellacking started in January and they didn't stop and it was concerning. And then they ended up in the standings pretty much where they were supposed to be. They did have a easier schedule at the first half of the year and a tougher one in the second half. And that's exactly what happened. So I'd like to see where they're at on January 1 this year.
Right. Plus one thing that because I feel like a lot of that first, like last year, that sort of first burst, I think was Nedeljkovic really carrying them. I don't know I didn't really actually drill into the numbers or anything, but just watching it, I felt like, and then he just kind of didn't exactly.
I had him on my fantasy team, so I saw exactly what he did for me last year. So.
Right, but so yeah. But why I feel like my big worry. Once they sign, they're like signing people left and right and everything, right? And they sign an entire second line, right? And then Kubalík on top of that, who has been their best player, arguably, right? So aside of Husso, but I was my worry, given all that, is especially in the beginning of the season, it always seems to me that when you have a lot of new players in hockey, particularly, you can have, especially on the defense, you can have like a real cohesion issue where they have to all sort of get on the same. And then you have a new coach too, right? New systems. Mm-hmm. So I think you see that with a few of the players where they kind of struggle. Like, I don't know if that's, I know Hag missed time, but he was just awful, right? You know,
are you guys happy with the new coach?
Lalonde. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
you know, I support. I was one of the last supporters for Blashill, and that's mostly because I have more patience than the keyboard warriors on Twitter.
Right,
but I you know, Yzerman said it too when he did let him go. He is a good coach, and he. I mean, just look at the squads that poor man had to coach the last 6 years. And he did just fine. But at the same time, and I think the reason why Yzerman did it was sometimes just a new voice in that locker room can change a lot of things around. And then it'll always be hard to compare because now you got Yzerman signing all those free agents and getting a new goalie to get in there with them.
Right.
But I don't want anyone to ever forget that those awesome rookie seasons that Sider and Raymond had, that was with Jeff Blashill as their coach. So can't ever forget that. But I do like Lalonde. You know, the power play has been awesome this year. That's probably the and their penalty kill are the reason why they are where they are. And, you know, Alex Tangay runs that as the assistant coach. So I don't know if there's if there's more direction from the head coach to the power play coach that's helping that, or if it's the fact that David Perron's on the right or on the left side as a right shot scoring at will on the power play. We have
so good
Filip Hronek just almost like leading the team in goals. He's not, but he's got, he's just that slap shot of his is just awesome. And you don't see people slap shots like that anymore. It's kind of fun to see. So,
but he's not, you know, it's funny, even him, like just the defense, I think is the key. And just like even swapping out Hagen Lindstrom were so terrible. And then swapping them out for even Wallman, who I really liked Wallman when he came over late. I thought he had a lot of like good skills, right? He just looked good.
It's a good skater, good shot.
Right. And he's responsible, right? And it just him coming back, and I thought Lindstrom did better with Osterley, and Osterley's been fine. But you see how like that whole thing sort of coming together, but Hronek not having to like carry a lot of dead weight.
Sure.
That second pairing. It just, I hope it's sustained. Like, I hope he's like back, you know what I mean? To what you're hoping to be.
Alimata is a good partner for him. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
Well, you guys are in the Atlantic division. I think personally that's one of the hardest divisions in the league. And you guys are sitting at third with 26 points. 10 behind Boston, the hottest team right now. We'll talk about them later. But anyway, let's just get into this little quiz I made for you guys. So the format is I'm going to give some clues, and the first one just to shout it out.
Oh, no.
So this is the first part. Yeah. And it gets easier to more difficult.
Okay.
I guess, but I mean.
Just as long as you don't take my question, because I have two good questions.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it's kind of just here, you know, it's like a little scatterbrain, but whatever. Let's just, you'll get it. So I'm going to hints and then first one to guess it. Okay, so first one. He's a rookie. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, he's 21 years old.
Elmer Soderblom?
Soderblom.
Oh. Oh, Cody got it. Yeah. So next was Swede. And then last clue, which is the easiest, is 6'8".
Yeah, right. I was saying, like, in preseason, you know, watching the preseason, he and I think Bergeron and Kubalik were, I think, the most exciting players to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, especially Bergeron. Every time Bergeron was out there, it seemed like they had a scoring chance. I know it's just the preseason, but it's
up. Yeah, Soderblom, he got a really nice goal. He got some fancy bits on it. It was nice. It was fun to see. But right now he's on the injured reserve. Yeah. I don't know what happened to him.
He got an undisclosed lower body injury.
He got a puck off the foot.
Yeah.
He blocked it is what happened. I don't know if it's – he was day-to-day, and then they – for roster reasons, they brought him. Okay,
I'm sorry. All right, well, number two. Okay, University of Michigan.
Dylan Larkin.
Dylan Larkin, you got it right.
I wanted to hear more because it could have been Andrew Kopp as well.
I know. I'm slow, so I had to like guess. I took the 50-50.
No, that was easy.
Yes,
that was an easy one. Okay, all right, next one. 22 years old when he won his first cup. Three Selkies.
Oh,
we're going into history here. Okay.
Four Lady Bing.
Pavel Datsyuk.
Pavel Datsyuk.
Nice job.
I was thinking of the current one. I was like, why?
Yeah, me too. That's how I started it as well.
Well, yeah. Oh, sorry, I forgot to say. Yeah, we're gonna get some all around.
Sure.
Okay, so next one, two gold medals, two Stanley Cups, traded from New Jersey to Detroit in 95.
Slava Fetisov.
Slava Fetisov.
Yep, Fetisov. Nice. Are you guys keeping score? I'm not.
I don't know. With the leg, I don't know who's saying what first.
I think you guys are saying them at the exact same time. So
yeah, we said.
I think you got the Dylan Larkin by a minute, but.
Oh yeah, because I guessed.
Okay, so and then here's my last quiz or my last guess who, 4 Stanley Cups. Canadian. Died in 2019. Players Union.
Ted Lindsay.
Ted Lindsay. Oh, there you go.
I was thinking 4 cups, so they were there from 97 to 08, but no.
That's what exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, okay, Chris Draper, Kurt Maltby. Okay, let's get going.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Ted Lindsay. Right.
Okay, so that was enough of that section. This has its own section. Just name the Russian 5. Go.
Fetisa, Valeriana, Kozlov,
Petrov.
Wait, what'd you say already?
You guys both got it.
I got confused. I only said 4, I think. I forgot what I'd started with.
Fetisov, Konstantinov, Konstantinov, Kozlov, Larionov, Fedorov.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to go into some mascot lore, the octopus. When and what year, and I can give an A, B, and C if you guys want. What year did they start tossing the octopus on the ice? So you guys want an A, B, and C?
I'm going with 1950 is my guess.
Ooh, 1950.
I'm gonna say 55. All 43. Right,
Cody. 43. Cody takes it. It's 1952.
Oh.
So do you guys know how to sneak in an octopus into the arena? So I guess what people do is they
bag,
just
right?
strap it to their belly. Kind of looks like a beer belly, but it's really an octopus under your jersey. So. Yeah.
I already have a beer belly, so that would be an extra big one.
What year did they introduce the mascot, Al the Octopus?
That was probably 96, 97, right? It was around the cup time, or like when the...
I'll say 95.
It was 98.
Okay.
1998.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yep, 1998, Al the Octopus. Have you guys ever been to a game at the Joe? Did the octopus come down from the ceiling? Or is that just for playoffs?
I think just for playoffs.
Yeah, I went to their second to last home game at the Joe.
Oh, really? Wow.
And there was no octopus from the ceiling, but a guy did throw an octopus in the aisle that next to me where I was sitting, and I got to see...
oh, wow.
Al, the former Zamboni guy, Al Sabatka, I got to see him twisted in the air, whatever he did in the air with it. That's why it was pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
I got a video of it on my phone, so.
Wow.
Well, you kind of answered a question for me. I was going to say, who is Al named after? And you're right, it's Al Sabatka. He's the guy who cleans it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we've already kind of said it, but can you name the 3 arenas the Red Wings have played in?
The
Olympia, the Joe,
and Little Caesars. There's also another one, though, although they were technically the Cougars, and I forget the name of it, though, but it was in Windsor when they started.
It was in Windsor, yeah. I just saw that the other day on Twitter, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I don't remember the name of it. Do you remember the name of it?
No, I don't. No.
I don't either.
No. Well, I was just looking for Olympia, Joe Louis, and Little Caesars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... David, yeah, you did go above and beyond because the Red Wings were formerly known as
the Falcons.
Cougars and the Falcons. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, so smart. Okay, now let's skip. Normally I'm so organized. Okay, here's an easy one for maybe people that don't know. Someone describe a Gordie Howe hat trick.
It was a fight, a goal, and an assist.
Yeah, and he only did it like twice in his career.
Yeah, Pavel Datsyuk did it once.
Yeah. Who did Datsyuk fight against Anaheim, you remember?
Yeah, it was, what's his name? I hate him, that guy.
Corey Perry?
Yeah, Corey Perry, yeah. And he was, I mean, and I think Corey Perry was like, at the beginning of the fight, I feel like he was maybe not going at it as hard as he could because it was Pavel Datsyuk, but Datsyuk kind of surprised him, I think. He was just so strong in his skates, right? He acquitted himself very well.
Yeah.
And at the time, they only thought Gordie Howe had won Gordie Howe hat trick, but they found another one or something.
Right.
Is too.
I think Brendan Shanahan actually holds the record for most Gordie Howe hat tricks in Red Wings history.
That makes sense.
Ooh, cool. So I got two more and then we'll transition. So who has the most consecutive wins by a Red Wing goalie?
Oh.
It's 21 consecutive.
Oh boy. I'll have to go with Terry Sawchuk.
I'm going to say Jimmy Howard.
If it's neither of those, I have another guess.
Okay, right. It's neither. Who do you got?
Oh, no.
Roger Crozier.
Crush Crozier.
Nope. That was my guess. Nope. Okay, I'll give you a clue. He's not in the Hall of Fame.
Chris Osgood?
Oh. Chris Osgood with 21, 95-96 season.
I suppose that's the year they won 62 games.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Poor Osgood.
And then last, this one's going to sting. But when was the last time the Red Wings were in the playoffs?
2016.
2016. Yeah. 15,
yeah.
Yep. Excellent. I think I want Detroit to make the playoffs this year. So
that would
good
be
luck
nice.
For you guys. So now we're going to go into the portion where I asked each of you fine gentlemen to come up with your questions for each other.
Okay.
And so we'll do it like a shootout. Cody will go, and then David will go, and then.
So, okay.
I'll flip a coin, call it in the air. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, Cody, call it.
Okay, tails.
What's going on over there?
I dropped it. And it's a Euro, so there is no heads or a tail, but...
Oh, no.
Okay, no, it's heads.
Okay.
Okay, excellent. So I ask first?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so I also wanted to go with ones... Because I'm really bad with numbers, right? So I wanted to ask ones that I knew without looking it up, although I did double check. So... the first one I feel like is gettable. The other one's pretty obscure. So my first one is, who are the last two Red Wings to score 50 or more goals in a season?
Oh, well. So I think I know who the last to score 40 or more was. I think that was Marian Hossa, 2009. But 50...
Can you call
it Fedorov Yzerman?
Oh, you're really close. So Fedorov and Ray Sheppard in the same year before Sheppard got the year he before he got dealt for Larionov.
Sure. Okay.
That was the trick.
So Yzerman had 65 and 89-90, I believe.
Yeah.
155 points.
He did it like, what, five times or something?
Yzerman's the only one not named Gretzky or Lemieux to have 155 points or more in a season.
That's correct. Yeah.
He won the Lester B. Pearson that year, which is now called the Ted Lindsay Award.
All right.
Oh, my turn?
Yes.
Yep, Cody.
Okay, so the unforgettable slash forgettable season of 2019-2020. The Red Wings, probably worst year ever. They were on a – actually, no, this was the season after. Is that what I sent to you, Katie? Was it the 2020-2021 season, I believe?
I think so.
Okay, so the not-so-great season after the worst season.
2021, yeah.
The Red Wings had a famous streak for not scoring a power play goal. It was like over 20-some games. Who ended the power play goal drought?
Oh, man. No, that's not him. I want to say it was I want to say it was a defenseman. Was it Hronek?
No. I'll give you one hint for another guest. He was a waiver wire pickup from Anaheim.
Who is it? Who was a waiver? See, that's probably just screwed me up more. Now I'm trying to think of that. Oh, crap. Because I'm trying to think of that. Because my recent history was very shrewd of you, because my sense of time compresses very badly. And especially in recent history, I forget 1 year to the next what happened which year. So like asking me what their last winning season was is brutal, because I like 14, 15, 16, all kind of mushed together. He wasn't. I don't know.
Kristen Juice.
Oh, no. Nice. Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes.
It was a defenseman, and he ripped it from the high slot. It was top shelf. I can't remember who he scored on, but yep.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember the team either, but I can remember that. That makes that like.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So this is my really obscure one.
Okay.
And it's just Alrighty. It's like it's an example of when she said, a sort of trivia question that I knew already. This is the first thing I thought of, and I couldn't shake myself of it. So,
sure.
All right. So, of course, in 1926, right, the Red Wings, started their franchise, right? But in a matter, technically started the franchise. It was technically a new franchise, but they really actually purchased the entire team from a folding, from a folding league. And that's why they called themselves the Cougars, because this team was also called the Cougars. So they just bought the team, brought it over. So in a sort of reality, even though it's technically a new franchise, they sort of continued on from a previous franchise elsewhere. What city did they play in?
Oh, I can go with Windsor.
No, I'll give you a hint. They had won. I'll give you a series of hints. This is the first hint is they had won the Stanley Cup 2 years before, and they had been to the finals the year they folded. Oof. That's not helping you with the city. It's helping
we're
you.
Talking Montreal Maroon era. Hamilton.
But yeah, see, you veered the wrong way, because this league that folded was the, now I'm forgetting the Pacific Coast Hockey League.
Oh, okay.
When the PCHL and the National Hockey League played each other for the Stanley Cup. Sure. So that's a hint.
Prince Albert.
No. Vancouver.
Victoria.
Vancouver Cougars.
Like Mississauga.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the most obscure thing I could.
London.
I thought it was probably too obscure. It was like not fair, but again, couldn't shake myself of it because sure. Yeah. Anyway, that's a fun one.
Okay. My second question is 2002-2003 was Henrik Zetterberg's rookie year. He had a great rookie year, but got second in Calder voting. Who did he lose to?
Johnson in St. Louis. Shaq Johnson?
What's his name? So close. So close.
Yeah, wait, what's his name? Whatever. It's St. Louis, the St. Louis defenseman who, yeah, I got him always confused with Shaq Johnson. It's not him.
Barrett Jackman.
See, this is my issue. You start with yeah. Anybody, like, just because his name starts with J, I would right. always confuse them. That's how my memory works. That's why I'm bad at sports trivia. I'm bad with numbers. I'm bad with names, basically.
Oh, yeah. Those were all really good questions.
Yeah. Yours were better.
Did you guys happen to catch the 25th anniversary of the 96-97 or 97-98? Oh.
Yep.
I didn't watch the reunion. I didn't watch the ceremony streaming it. It wasn't on that. I could have, you know, I don't know if you could watch it online or something, but
yeah, I watched it on YouTube after.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I caught some of it on YouTube, and Scottie Bowman, he looks like a baby's butt. Man's 89 years old. You could have fooled crazy? Me. Yeah.
Still talks really well too. He that whole speech he had, he had no notes or anything either. He just talked for like 9 minutes straight. Based off his memory, didn't screw up on anything. Like, that's amazing.
And he's like one of those guys who he looked at a certain point of his life, he looked older than he was. And now he looks younger than he does. So it's like he hasn't aged.
Guy won five Stanley Cups in a row as a coach, right? In the late 50s? Or
right.
was he part of the? Yeah, I mean, he's been around for a long time. So
he was Montreal and Pittsburgh.
Well, it's fun seeing all the old timers get back together. But some noticeably missing people were Fedorov and Kozlov because they're coaching in the KHL and they I guess they weren't allowed to leave. We all know what's happening. Well,
Larionov also coaches in the KHL and he told his team there's no way I'm missing this and he came to Detroit. So
awesome.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like I should go watch that.
Yeah, no, definitely check it out. Well, fellas, that's all I had for the Mashup Hybrid Quiz Show Red Wings Revival episode. But I will end it with Cody. What? Why should your team win the Stanley Cup this year?
I don't think they should, but. if they do somehow make that happen, they're going to need to score more at even strength and not rely so much on their power play and penalty kill. Although
the goalie.
And then the goalie's going to have to I have a thing. I don't think a team can win the Stanley Cup without the goalie being the MVP. And that's why I kind of wish there was a separate award, Conn Smythe, between goalies and players, because I can't think of many instances where the Stanley Cup champions MVP wasn't the goalie. There probably are some years. It's almost like the NFL with the quarterback. Like, it's you can't win a cup with a mediocre goalie. Some will say Kemper is a mediocre goalie. I think he's better than people say. You know, he was Avalanche goalie last year, but he stole a lot of games for them. That's just the one most recent on my mind. But yeah, that's how I feel.
Goalies are tricky though, right? Goalies are like just because of volume, I think, just pure big number. I feel like goalies are like relief pitchers in terms of like year to year. It's always so hard to say who's real. I mean, obviously they're the, you know, Vasilevsky and all these people who are this obvious year to year. Great. But you know, everybody else. It's kind of like with closers, right? Like everybody else. Yeah. It's such a small number kind of thing that, you know, it just, there's so much noise with goalie performance. So I feel like if the Wings win it, which they shouldn't, they coalesce, right? Because I feel like I feel like there is room for this team to sort of get more cohesive, especially on the back end, right? So I feel like there's some upside to the Red Wings season. There's big downside to the Red Wings season. Like if the power play falters and the 5-on-5 numbers just kind of stay where they are, and then Husso kind of, you know, doesn't stay as hot, you know, there's more reasons how they could fall apart, I feel like. But if they win, like if they were to win, like Husso would basically go insane, have like a JS Jaguar kind of cheating season with the bar and his pads.
Right.
Yeah, Jaguar. No, it's funny you brought up Jaguar. I drew a picture of him to explain like what he was like, and I just drew like a box of like him filling up the entire box. Right. Like his pads were so gigantic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and like I told you at the beginning, I was, you know, Paul Kariya fan, but not so much a fan of the Ducks. But in 2003, I was really cheering for Kariya after they took care of the Red Wings in the first round.
Yeah.
And Jaguar became I was a goalie, so Jaguar became kind of a hero of mine that year. I really wanted him to win. And, you know, with the Wild, me living so close to Minnesota, there was a lot of Wild fans going nuts for that third-round matchup as well. And Jaguar let in, like, one goal the whole series.
Yeah, swept him.
I'll never forget those cohos and that chest protector. You couldn't even see the back of the net.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. But I'm still bitter about it. But yeah, they should have a different award for the playoffs. You're right. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, forward defenseman, that's enough similar where you can, you know, if a defenseman really, really dominates. But
well, yeah, goalies. Let me share one more little thing, because I'm a big Chris Osgood supporter. I do think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, me too.
One of my arguments for him is he was half an inch from making the Hall of Fame, and here's why. In 2009, when the Red Wings lost to the Penguins, I have heard that Osgood would have won the Conn Smythe that year had they won, right?
I would have thought he would have won it just based on performance, yeah.
And Nicholas Cronwall hit the crossbar with 2 minutes left in that game that could have tied it up and could have led to overtime winner for the Red Wings. Then Osgood wins the Conn Smythe. And in my opinion, that is the final straw to get him in the Hall of Fame. He's got over 400 wins. He's got 2 Stanley Cups as a starter, 3 overall. Everyone argues he was on such good teams. Well, he was. And part of their success, though, was him having to make 12 saves a game cold on his feet down on the other end, you know? So
that's why that's the double edge of the goalie, right? I mean, he was on great teams, but you still need a really good goalie. I can see the argument both ways, but at the same time, you know, he did a lot of winning. He was on great teams, but a lot of
21 in a
goalies
row.
On great teams, you know.
And then just, I think some of his best goaltending of his career was 2008, 2009. He was 36, 37 years old those years.
Yeah.
He completely had to change his style of play from the stand-up to the butterfly in the middle of his career, and he resurrected it after the lockout. And he was behind Manny Legacy that first year after the lockout, played a few games, and then when Hasha came in 2007 again, they split, and then Osgood took over the net in 2008 playoffs and 2 finals in a row, 1 win. I mean.
But, you know, after the Sharks series, though, I feel like he got the sort of soft goalie label, the sort of like flakies, you know. So, and then it was like, ever since then, the narrative was, oh, well, the Red Wings in front of him are carrying him, right?
Yeah.
That was, I mean, maybe if he wins that second cup and wins the Conn Smythe, maybe that does over, but even, I don't know.
It's hard to say, but there's other goalies too who are deserving to be in that aren't, and it's just the way it is.
Yeah. Lou Whitaker should be in the Hall of Fame too, but it's like those things where defense or the perception of defense will, you know, get a shortstop in if he's like, you know, plays on the Yankees, right? Like, but
right.
when that should work for us, you know.
Yeah.
When it works for the Tigers, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. So, all right, fellas. Fellas,
we're gonna stop.
I got things to do.
I thought we were just getting warmed up.
No. No, we'll save it for after the All-Star break.
Right, that's probably a good idea. Let's wait we should see how they play Toronto tonight.
Is that tonight? Is that, I thought that was
yeah.
No, oh, I'm in the future. I'm confused.
Right, yeah. I don't know how to deal with that. That's for you.
Yeah. Well, fellas, you guys are both super fans. You guys both won the episode. I'm proud of both of you, and I hope they make it in. And like I said, we'll stay in touch, all right?
Yep.
Sounds good. Thanks, Katie.
Yep.
All right, bye, guys.
Nice meeting you. Yep. See you later.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too.
Yep, bye.